Hey guys, welcome to Missing the Mouse. This is episode 10. Today we're going to be talking about the World Showcase. And for those of you following along at home, we are going to work our way around the World Showcase Lagoon clockwise from Future World. So basically when you're at Epcot, walking into the World Showcase, we'll be turning left and just making our way around, which starts us in Mexico.
So, Mexico and the no longer Rio del Tiempo.
And it's now Grand Fiesta Tour starring the Three Caballeros.
Which I only say that because I've given Jeremy a hard time multiple times about them changing that, because to me it was Rio del Tiempo. It will always be Rio del Tiempo. Even though I think I've only been on that attraction two, maybe three times, and I have not been on it since it changed to Grand Fiesta Tour. So I actually have no input whatsoever on whether or not that's a good attraction. But my guess is they just refurbed what was there, and just that little boat attraction. And it was a nice little attraction for what it was.
Yeah, Claire and I didn't even know that was a ride. We thought it was a restaurant. So when we got home and I was looking online, I was like, oh, that pyramid was a ride.
Yes, so it's actually just like a little water, which, you know what, it kind of amuses me because... you know the way that Disneyland has Blue Bayou set up with the pirates, where you actually go past Blue Bayou in Disneyland?
Mm-hmm.
You actually have a similar thing in Grand Fiesta Tour, sorry, where the boats actually go past the eatery inside of the temple on the water.
Ah, so it is a restaurant.
Yes, so there is a restaurant. There's actually a restaurant. There's a couple of... it's a very street vendory feel. They sell a lot of classic Mexican, you know, like piñatas. I don't know. It's a lot of little kitschy stuff that you know, you see in like San Antonio, places like that. They carry a lot of that along with having the restaurant, along with having the attraction.
Gotcha.
So they managed to fit all of that in there.
It sounds like it's something that's, you know, kind of, it's a small world, but Mexico only.
Yes. Me. Yeah, there's actually some, and again, now this is all Rio del Tiempo, but I'm going to assume they didn't change a whole lot. It was like video being played on different screens, things like that as you went past. So that's actually the San Angel Inn restaurant in there. And now I will say the cool thing, I have not eaten there yet, because I'm so fixed in my ways when it comes to Epcot and where I want to eat. But I've wanted to eat there because, again, similar to the Blue Bayou, you have, if you walk in, it actually, you feel like you're outdoors at night. There's the moon and the stars and all that kind of stuff. So you get this outdoor eating experience indoors.
Hmm.
So.
Well, that's cool. That's quite Disney.
Yes, and it's a very unique restaurant. So, like I said, definitely walk in there. You know, take an opportunity to take a short little boat ride. I don't think I've ever seen the few times that I went when it was Rio del Tiempo, never really saw a line for that attraction. And my guess is because most people are like you, Jeremy, and don't even realize there's an attraction in there.
Yeah, I would say that's probably true.
So,
so then the next attraction, and really I think the only other quote attraction in Mexico, is the Folk Art Gallery,
which I think is that, yeah, it's more like a walkthrough thing,
right? And it's obviously an art gallery.
Maybe like a folksy art gallery, is that what you're trying maybe to imply?
Man, perhaps. That's quite astute of you.
Thank you.
So dining in Mexico, there's the La Hacienda de San Angel, which is a table service. Claire and I ate there 2 years ago. It was good. The menu is limited.
Okay, so is that the one that's outside? So you've got the big temple thing, and then across the kind of walkway path, you've got the other is that the other restaurant?
Yeah, that's the... Okay. Well, so there's La Hacienda, which is table service. That's indoors. And then there's La Cantina, which is the connected. And that's counter service. And that's right. Outside.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And there's like a gazebo right on the lagoon that you can eat, and it's nice. I think we actually enjoyed the food better at the cantina than we did inside.
Yeah, I've actually eaten at the cantina once before, and it was pretty decent food, and you know, also pretty good views for illumination. So.
Mm-hmm.
Though you probably have to get there really, really, really early, as you do with any Disney fireworks thing, if it's at all busy, to kind of take your spot, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty good food, and I don't recall it being that crazy of a price, you know, pretty much in line with a lot of other counter service places. And you know, that's one of the things I really like about World Showcase is just the plethora of different foods from different countries that you can go and experience as you're walking through this place. And I think it's important to note that most of these places, when you walk through them and you stop and talk to cast members, the majority of the cast members there will actually be from that country. And they're more than happy to, you know, take questions about their country. They love getting the opportunity to talk about it. So you can really find out a lot of history about a country while you're there. It is a Disney-fied version of that country, but there is the opportunity to learn a lot more about that country if you'd like to.
Yeah, I think, and like you were saying, they're very prideful of their heritage and stuff, and so it's cool, and they're all very friendly in Disney fashion.
Because they were not going to be anything else, because then they would find themselves being sent back home.
So then in Mexico, there's also a place called La Cava del Tequila, which is a lounge.
So that's probably what, the bar section of San Angel Inn?
Yeah, I think so. And then, yeah like you talked about earlier, the San Angel Inn is going to be the last eatery in Mexico.
And that's going to probably be your most expensive. My guess is that's going to be a little bit more expensive than the one on the other side. Again, because you're getting that unique experience of getting that kind of dusky outdoor seating along with your dinner. So there's a little bit more to it than what just the standard go sit down and eat place.
Right. So as we take a casual jaunt out of Mexico, we magically are transported to Norway.
Yes, because those places are so close to one another.
Oh man, yeah, they're landlocked.
At least in Disney they are.
And in Norway, one of my favorite dumb things to do is Maelstrom.
Oh, I so thought you were going to say the Stave Church Gallery.
I do love the Stave Church Gallery for sure, but Maelstrom just ekes out a win over that one.
Ah, and Maelstrom also counts for the third Fast Pass Plus that I suggest that you get at Epcot. That
ding, 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 ding,
probably
ding, ding,
thinks I'm a little crazy about, but it is my third Fast Pass Plus. And my reasoning behind that, folks, is not because Maelstrom is particularly the best attraction at Epcot, or it's because it's going to have longer waits than just about anything. So the top three waits you're going to have are going to be Soarin', Test Track, and Maelstrom, just about any time, in spite of the fact that I would argue that Mission Space is head and shoulder, knees and toes better than Maelstrom. It almost always has a shorter wait, and you don't want to wait 45 minutes, 60 minutes for Maelstrom, because it's a quick water attraction.
Yeah. And I do think you're crazy, but only because Claire and I just saw that it was a ride, and we just went and got in line for it, and we waited 10 minutes max.
Yeah, and if you find yourself in that short of a wait, then the Fast Pass is overkill, definitely. But again, my experience is that is the exception much more than it is the norm. So
I see. Well, it is fun. It's a fun little ride. I will say that the first maybe 20 seconds of that ride are way darker and scarier than the rest of the ride ever gets.
Yes, it was very much a let's put in some Norwegian folklore and now we're going to tell you about Norway.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're on it and you get freaked out at the very beginning, just don't worry.
Just hang on. It's going to get much less. It's going to be much less. I don't want to use the word interesting because that sounds really bad.
Let's be honest, though. It's going to get a little less interesting.
Yes. It's not going to engage you nearly as much as a really cool Norwegian folklore story will as you're, riding past elevated oil platform.
Yeah.
And onward. And I will go ahead and say, pro tip, when you exit the attraction, you exit through a movie theater. You can just keep on walking right through the movie theater before the door is shut and you get stuck watching a movie about Norway. If you're interested in Norway, I'm sure it's a really good movie, and I have actually sat down and watched it once, but if you're not really interested in Norway, it's just a long film about Norway.
They don't actually shut the doors anymore.
Oh, so they basically they figured out that people are so uninterested in this film.
They leave the doors remain open all the time, so you can watch, 5 seconds of it, realize what it is, and bail.
There you go. But they have a really cool, that's actually a really cool gift shop that you will then exit into, because they've got a bunch of big trolls and stuff, that you can go take pictures with and everything. So be sure to check out the gift shop there. I think it's really well themed.
Yeah. And the gift shop's actually a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, going back to this whole, Disney-fied, but still a lot of this country, a lot of the products that you will find in the gift shops, you're going to find some things that are going to be very Disney-fied of this country, but then you're actually going to find things that you would actually find in this country. So, for example, as I said, when you're in Mexico, you're going to find a lot of the kitschy stuff that you find at the swap meets and flea markets and things like that. When you're in the UK, you're going to be able to actually buy chocolate that you're not, a lot of times you won't find in the US. But you will find pretty regularly over in Great Britain. So again, the opportunity is there to go through these gift shops and see a bunch of cool stuff that you otherwise aren't going to get to see when you just go into a store here in the U.S.
Good point. Good little tip.
So
that sounded a lot more patronizing and mean than I meant it to. It actually is a good tip. I'm sorry.
Wow. Thanks, Jeremy. So then that does leave the Stave Church Gallery. I'll be honest. I've done that one time before, and I don't really remember a lot about it. It's interesting for what it is, I guess, but clearly doesn't leave a big mark on there.
Yep.
And then
agreed.
Yep, but then you can also go see Elsa and Anna from Frozen.
Hey, and those lines are in the 3 to 4 hour range, but they are FastPass Plus available, so you may consider FastPassing that meetup, because those are literally 3 hour lines usually.
Actually, that's a very valid point. If you're going to do character meetings at Epcot, especially that character meeting, because it is so fresh and so new for Disney, that would probably beat out Maelstrom. For me, I don't do the character meetups, so it's not a thing for me, but yeah, definitely if you're going to do it, that would be a great way to save some time.
Yeah. And it's worth noting that character meetups are new to the FastPass, system with FastPass Plus. You didn't used to be able to FastPass meetups.
Yeah. It's pretty smart on Disney's part, because those lines were getting crazy long before, and this can hopefully cut back on some of it, though I imagine there's still going to be a lot of irate people, because characters have pretty strict limits on how long they can be out before they have to go take a break and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I would definitely suggest that if you're going to be looking for characters, take advantage of that.
So if you're looking to eat in Norway, you could eat at the Kringla Bakery Og Cafe.
Ooh, they actually have some really, really awesome pastries in there.
Do they?
Yes, yes. It's one of those things where you eat at a place and you remember you had something that was really good, but I'll be darned if I can remember what it was. All I remember is it was pastry, it was really sweet, and it was really awesome. So if you're looking for a little snack, stop by the Kringle Bakery and pick something up. They also, is it there in Norway where they do the Princess Dining?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay, because there is a Princess Dining. It's a character dining experience. That yes, they do it at Ocker House.
Oh,
or Ocker Shoes. However, you're supposed to say that. I always ended up calling it Ocker House. anyway, the Royal Banquet Hall there. Actually, they do a breakfast that is a Disney princesses theme thing. So if you've got, you know, if your kids are really into Disney princesses, that would be really cool. One of the things that's kind of interesting about that is it will actually open before World Showcase opens. So first thing in the morning, Future World will open in Epcot. And for the first 2 hours, I think, somewhere in there, World Showcase will not be open. But if you have reservations there, they will actually let you on through. And you can kind of stroll through World Showcase without anybody else really there. Of course, you also can't stop anywhere because nothing's going to be open. But you get this opportunity to check out World Showcase without people everywhere as you would be walking to this breakfast thing. So
that actually sounds kind of neat to be out there almost by yourself.
Yeah, and I don't know if they do it anymore. They used to do. So they had that going on, and then also before World Showcase would open, they had a Segway experience. I forget exactly how much it was, but you could rent a Segway. You bought your place in the group, and they would take groups. It was pretty small groups of people. Everybody get mounted up on Segways. First, they would teach you how to actually operate a Segway, because those things can be dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. And then they would actually take you out and you would get to ride around the entire World Showcase, with the cast, I think it's like two cast members, and giving you some information about the World Showcase. And so you get to experience riding a Segway, get to see the World Showcase again before it opens and before everybody else is out there. So if you want to kind of check out the World Showcase in a bit more intimate setting, that could be another option for you.
And you could ride a Segway.
And you could ride a Segway. Yeah, they say those things don't fall over. Don't believe them. I have seen.
Are you speaking from experience?
I'm not speaking from my own experience. I may be speaking from a fellow cast member's experience who we may have had a near miss on our Segways, and she may have hit a wall, and she may have like been off work for 2 weeks with like workman's comp because her wrist got kind of messed up.
Well, you can't blame the Segway for running into a wall.
So it actually, and it actually wasn't a wall. It was actually a part of a wall. So the wheel hit an exposed 2x4, and that caused the Segway to kick forward, and she tumbled off of it. Yes, the Segway in and of itself is not dangerous. You can be dangerous on a Segway. That's
yes.
I guess that should be how I phrase that to be a bit more accurate. You can be dangerous on a Segway, but. Anyway, that doesn't really provide a good segue, but it is a segue.
So we'll just take our segue over to China.
Yay.
And the first stop I can see is the Baijutsukan Gallery.
And I have no clue. Okay, so here's the thing. China, again, very well designed. Very cool gift shop, great counter service restaurant, really cool acrobats, and that's all that I know about China. Because I have not seen the galleries or anything in there. Now I'm kicking myself for. But
what about Reflections of China, Brad?
I have not seen Reflections of China because Reflections of China sounds like a video about China. And I have nothing against China. I think China's probably a very cool country, but I don't want to sit down and watch a video when I'm at Epcot.
That's true.
Just my way of thinking. But I believe that they have some really cool water gardens out front, in front of the temple.
They do. They're
That are just awesome. Like so awesomely designed and everything. So that's definitely worth checking out. And again, like I said, I believe they still have some acrobatic stuff that goes on there. The Jeweled Dragon Acrobats there in China. If you can catch those guys, they do some crazy stuff. So, you know, that's a, the entertainment plays a big part in some of the countries on World Showcase, and China is one of those countries where I think it's definitely worth hitting that.
Definitely, yeah. It's, and you know, in the World Showcase, every country is worth seeing. I mean, they've done such a good job with every single pavilion to just make it beautiful and entertaining and to really give you a taste of what that country is like. So no matter what we say about it, go and see it, because they're all amazing.
And there's something to be said for, you know, even when I look at something like China, and I say, I don't really do the attractions in China. I mean, again, I've seen the gift shoppy areas. I've eaten at the, I think it's the Lotus Blossom Cafe there as their counter service. And it had really, really good Chinese food. But again, getting to see the water garden out in front of the temple and just, you know, just kind of soaking it all in. You know, a lot of times I just want to stop on a bench in a country and just kind of sit back, relax, people watch, and just kind of take in the architecture and everything of these different countries.
Yeah, and it's cool to, you know, be able to sit on a bench, see everything about China, and then, you know, get up, walk for 5 minutes, and go sit on another bench, and you're in a completely different, you know, zone, in a completely different area, completely different culture, and it's crazy.
Right. And it's very interesting because, and I think this is probably something that we should have maybe led in on World Showcase, but a lot of these countries had a lot of, these countries actually had a lot of input into how their pavilions were built. So this wasn't just Disney by themselves kind of going, this is what we think would be cool about China. They actually worked with China. This is what we think would be cool about Morocco. They actually worked with Morocco. All of these different countries had a lot of input there. So again, you're experiencing this with cast members that come from that country and with what that country thought was kind of a cool thing to put in, whether that's a video or a maelstrom.
Right. From what I understand too, the countries had a lot to do with the building it, you know, like, yes. And monetarily, I mean, you know, they financed a lot of it.
Well, so they had a lot to do with building it, and then they actually had a lot to do with monetarily, and then actually a lot to do with building it, in some cases. I'm not sure. I don't want to overstep and try to, because I haven't done enough studying to be sure, but I know, like, in Morocco, the fountain that's in there, they actually sent people, you know, the Moroccan government sent people over there to oversee that and, you know, putting all those tiles in place and everything. It's a beautiful fountain there in Morocco. So, again, there was a lot of input from the countries in what was done here. So, but anyway, so we've kind of, you know.
Right. Back to dining in China. And I don't think either of us really have a lot to say about the other places to eat. Kabuki is a quick service place. Is that in China?
I don't see a Kabuki in China.
Kabuki Cafe? Okay, that may be in Japan.
That's probably Japan. Yeah,
okay, China. Let me just apologize in advance. I'm stupid. And so if I mistake Japan for China, you know, something, Italy for France, like, I'm just an idiot. So, you know.
Please do not take it as a slight against any nationality, because that's really, it's just Jeremy looking down the list on the website. You know, we have not been to the parks enough to memorize everything. We have to look at our notes just like, you know, anybody else would. Right. But yeah, so the quick service there is the Lotus Blossom Cafe. And then I think the outdoor kitchen for the Lotus House maybe is like more of kind of cart service, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Then the sit-down restaurant there is the Nine Dragons restaurant. That's going to be your table service there. Again, I haven't been there, but I would imagine it's probably good just based on everything else that I've had in World Showcase.
And it's beautiful on the inside. I mean, for sure. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Just so, looking at the pictures. From China, we move on to Germany.
Ah, but let's not forget the outpost.
Oh, right.
Yes, the outpost.
It's like short stop.
Yes, where if you need to get some ice cream or something, it's actually a really good place to stop. Not a lot more than that. It's kind of interesting because it's designed in a very Africa way, but it's not Africa. It's not actually related to any country, and it just kind of feels like it got stuck there. But you'll see people playing, you know, a lot of very tribal drums and stuff out there a lot of times. So that would be the outpost.
Enough said.
And now we're on to Germany.
Germany! There's a... I didn't really see a lot of... when I was over in Epcot last time, I didn't see a lot of attractions over in old Germany.
No, not really.
Any at all.
Yeah, I was about to say, not any that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I think Germany's more focused on... beer and sausage.
Yes, yes. Which you can go get some awesome sauerkraut in Germany. You can get some awesome beer in Germany. It's got a very cool look to it.
It does, yeah.
You know, it's. I like the way that it brings you in. And again, the gift shops in this area, they've got the... but they've got that one glass gift shop there, and it's right there on the main walkway. Where they're actually making glass figurines and stuff, which is very cool. And then the gift shop itself has a lot of interesting, again, stuff from Germany. I remember when one of the times my family went, and I kind of lose track as to which one, we actually had a foreign exchange student who was living with us who was actually from Germany, and we all went to Disney World, and she was in heaven because... there were, you know, like different candies and stuff that she could buy that she hadn't had since she had been home, and different things like that. So I think that's probably more the draw of Germany, is just the architecture and everything, and then kind of a cool gift shop. So,
yeah. And then there's the, so the table service in Germany is the Biergarten. And from what I've heard, and by heard, I mean, just a couple of friends of mine who have been there and reading reviews on TripAdvisor and stuff. It is like delicious.
Yes. I have seldom heard anything bad ever said about Biergarten. So,
yeah.
I think I want to say they've got more of like a family style seating arrangement where they've got really long tables.
Yep.
And so you could find yourself, maybe it affects, I guess your experience could be somewhat affected by who you end up sitting next to, but, you know, I think the food, I've never heard anything less than rave reviews about, and I believe, isn't that a buffet?
Yes, I think you're right.
Yeah, so.
Yep, buffet/family style.
There you go. So, family style buffet, lots of good German dishes that you're going to be having, like, you know, macaroni and cheese.
Yum.
And meatballs. No, there actually are quite a few things. I'm quickly looking at a menu. You know, you've got bratwurst, chicken schnitzel, sauerbraten.
Much like the rest of Epcot and the World Showcase. I mean, it's just, they knock it out of the park with the cultural cuisine.
And heck yes, you can get strudel for dessert. So
yum!
I think that could do well.
And then there's Sommerfest. Oh, gosh. No, I wish I hadn't just done that.
I was about to say, that's now on recorded for history.
Oh, Sommerfest in Germany is your quick service, choice.
Where you can get... that's where I've actually stopped and gotten a brat before, and... you know, like get a brat and a beer, and usually is a really good, really good food. I want to say I haven't actually tried their soft pretzels, but I think they've got soft pretzels there too.
Yeah, and that's another thing I've heard, that is like the soft pretzels, and then they have a beer cheese that is like the best thing you'll ever eat.
So there you go. So
looking forward to it.
Germany, more than anything, turns into a place to eat for us.
Yum yums.
Which is what a lot of stuff in World Showcase. Okay, so I know we said we were So Jeremy and I kind of briefly discussed that I believe Flower and Garden Festival is going on right now at Epcot, and we're like, we're not going to really hit on that because it's very dependent upon when you go as to what will be going on. But Food and Wine Festival at Epcot is amazing. Because they set up different little booths. And you know what? I'm probably going to like listen. And I'm probably going to find out this is the third or fourth time I've brought this up on the podcast. But they set up these little booths in each country with snack-sized portions of foods that are very specific to that country. So it'd be like a snack-sized portion of bratwurst and a small glass of beer, you know, some German beer or something. And then, you know, you'd go on to Norway, and there'd be some Norwegian dish and, you know, some beverage that's very specific to them. And the prices are high for the amount of stuff that you're getting, but it's such a cool way to get to really experience all these different cultures. Because if you go and have a bratwurst in Germany and then something from the Kringla bakery in Norway, best of luck trying to stuff anything in yourself by the time you reach Mexico. So that was my quick blurb for the Food and Wine Festival. Anyway, I guess what next, we should move on to Italy.
Italy, yes. In Italy, I feel like, from memory, is another place that's mostly just places to eat. And maybe a gift shop or two.
Yeah, places to eat, a gift shop or two. You've also, you've got the moving statues in Italy, are kind of the entertainment there. And that can be really fun. If they're out when you go past Italy, go and take a picture with them, or just sit back. I like sitting down and watching other people go take pictures with the moving statues, because people will freak the heck out when all of a sudden they're standing next to I promise you, I've seen people who honestly think that they are standing next to a statue, and then the statue reaches down and puts their arm around them. And that is awesome. That is awesome.
So pull up a bench and just kind of witness that for an hour or two.
That's right. So hopefully they're still there. I noticed that entertainment there is listed as Sergio, who I've never seen. But I bet you they're still there. I bet you it's just not listed on the website.
Yeah.
And they're awesome. So,
for eating, there's a gelato place that's, you know, counter service, obviously. And though I didn't have it there, I have had gelato in the past, and it's pretty darn good.
Yes.
Pretty, pretty good. It's a little bit more, I don't know, creamy than ice cream, I mean. And it's pretty, 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 pretty good.
That was a few too many pretties there.
Sorry, I was channeling my inner Larry David.
So you've also got a Tutto Italia Ristorante, yeah, there.
And then the Tutto Gusto wine cellar.
Yes, so I think is probably just kind of the bar, again, kind of the bar section of that restaurant.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. Napoli Ristorante e Pizzeria.
That was actually pretty impressive.
I was going to say, that was pretty good, right? We'll leave that one in.
I like that one. So I haven't eaten at any of these places, though. The Tutto Italia, I had a coworker who used to love to go there all the time, and she told me it was so awesome. But again, I get so fixed in my ways, and when I go to Epcot, I know where I want to eat, and I'm not finding myself there multiple evenings for table service, so I have not had the opportunity to try that yet. I need to branch out. That's, I guess, the moral of this podcast.
Come on, man. Branch out. And for the pizzeria, you can't go wrong with pizza, especially in the World Showcase. When you're in Italy with Italian people cooking Italian pizza, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, you're going to do okay getting a pizza from there, I'm sure. And I think that's just another place where the architecture is just, again, it's going to be the broken record of the World Showcase. The architecture is just amazing there.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a cool layout, such a cool design, and I've never been to Italy, but it wouldn't surprise me to find out that that's what Italy's like. So
And I would think that you would be that would be a safe bet to go and at least recognize architectural, you know, cues from the World Showcase.
Yes.
So past Italy is the American Adventure, which is we've now reached the halfway point in the World Showcase.